Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre, and this show is for the week of November 29th, 2021. Well, today we've got a story to tell you. It's kind of been running under the radar for several years, but in the beginning part of November, it popped up as a new twist to the storyline, the narrative. And it has big implications. So let me tell you the story. In the year 2008, a long time ago, the Massachusetts legislature passed a bill called the Global Warming Solutions Act. So without getting into the details, the bill was noble, and it set goals for Massachusetts to achieve clean energy. Right? And even as early as 2008, one easy way for Massachusetts to get clean energy that didn't have any carbon dioxide associated with it was to use basically hydropower. And that hydropower could come from a place in Canada, a big complex called Hydro-Québec. Hydro-Québec is a series of dams and back flooding way up in the northern part of Canada. And it generates an awful lot of electricity without generating any greenhouse gases, which on the face of it is really good. And so it became a prime target for the planners in Massachusetts to, even in 2008, to think about where were we going to get substantial amounts of clean energy. Now, just for the sake of the story, we won't go down the pathway that wonders whether or not Hydro-Québec is in fact that green a place, okay? Because it has involved displacement of native people, flooding of lands, various kinds of ecological damage to create the power in the water, basically. And then I put up a link. I'll put up a link about that if you want to read it. But for the moment, let's just put that aside and say that the power that comes from Hydro-Québec is clean and green. So life goes on from 2008. By 2016, the state of Massachusetts, the legislature, is recommitting to climate issues and is now ready to mandate certain things. One of which was that the utilities here in Massachusetts must buy clean power to the tune of, I don't know, a couple of gigawatts of power, right? And of course, that was all a wink and a nod to say, go buy electricity from Hydro-Québec. And of course, Hydro-Québec is very eager to sell their electricity because that's how they make a living, right? So by 2006 or so, Massachusetts had entered a 20-year contract with Hydro-Québec to supply power. Cool, right? Lots of power from Hydro-Québec. Massachusetts says, yes, this gives us a good leg up on green electricity. We're going to do it, get this relatively cheap, abundant green power from Hydro-Québec. Only one problem. Hydro-Québec is pretty far away from Massachusetts, right? In order to get the electricity from Hydro-Québec down into the state of Massachusetts, you must build a transmission line of some kind. So all the smart people in Massachusetts said, sure, we'll just build a transmission line through New Hampshire. They won't mind. Of course, by 2018, the people in New Hampshire had become upset at the idea that a power line from Massachusetts would be running along their beautiful mountain peaks in the White Mountains to have this power line to take care of those sissies down in Massachusetts, right? 2018, New Hampshire Conservation Committee or something rejects the high voltage line that would have brought a power line through New Hampshire to connect Massachusetts to Hydro-Québec. I put up links to two of the shows that we made at the time in 2018 that talked about the power lines up in New Hampshire. Okay, that was a setback for Massachusetts's green dreams, so to speak, in 2018, that we could not get the power through New Hampshire because they wouldn't let us build a power line through their state. Well, the government of Massachusetts And I would say, I think probably in the base personified by Governor Baker, said, fine, no worries, New Hampshire. We will build an alternate power line. We've already had our eye on a power line that would come down through Maine, would bring electricity from Hydro-Quebec to Massachusetts, and it would go through Maine. And that project marched along for several years, because it's now 2021. That project marched along for several years, got all of its approvals, lots of money being spent. The work actually begun. A company called Avangrid, I think, is in charge of it. Avangrid, by the way, is one of the principal players in building the wind turbine, Vineyard Wind, off of Martha's Vineyard. Right, so it's all going forward, except for the people in Maine are increasingly upset at the idea that their mountains are going to be despoiled for the benefit of Massachusetts. Right? There was lots of talk about how all the good benefits that would flow to Maine from having this power line go through it. But long and short of it, there was an election in early part of November, you may remember. And in that election, in Maine, the people of Maine basically passed a law that said you cannot build that power line. No need to go into the details, but basically it puts the kibosh on a power line through Maine. So now we are 6-7 years after 2016, the two major interconnects that Massachusetts had planned for Hydro-Quebec are now both canceled, or at least in dire trouble. In Maine, for example, there's a ton of lawsuits because there's already a fair amount of money sunk into it. There are several high-profile players in the between building the grid, contracting for the electricity, various kinds of infrastructure, in particular one that goes through the seaport, the Seabrook Nuclear Power Plant. Somehow they have an interchange that is important to the route. So there's lots of big money people fighting it out in Maine as to whether or not this project can go forward, whether or not the vote in Maine really is constitutional, back and forth. So there's going to be lawsuits that drag on probably for several years in Maine as to whether or not that power line can be built. Very interesting. So here's Massachusetts. Has state mandates that it will reduce its carbon emissions by 50% by the year 2030. That's what's written into the new roadmap bill. It needs lots and lots of clean electricity to do that. And the two connections it had hoped to reach to Hydro-Quebec to bring in such clean electricity are now both in jeopardy. Looking around, there's discussion about bringing another high voltage line through the state of Vermont. Right? This is going to be a DC line, kind of detail, but in Vermont, the thing would be buried underground so it wouldn't scar the ugly peak, the tops of the peaks, yada, yada, yada. I guess unless they're way ahead of the curve, it's going to take several years for that power line to come through as well. So, interesting story. All of the good plans of Massachusetts are stymied by these rejection of these power lines. Now, that's not to say that the people who in Maine and New Hampshire who rejected the power lines are wrong, right? That's a different kind of question. But here's Massachusetts, needs the power, can't get it from Hydro-Quebec, doesn't really have a plan C or D in order to meet the roadmap requirements for clean energy. And that's the story. That's the state of play. Where are we? What's Massachusetts going to do? So, of course, there's cooler heads and hotter heads to discuss what Massachusetts can do. But it certainly seems as if the options for Massachusetts are to hope that the legal issues in Maine resolve themselves very quickly and the construction of the high power transmission line from Maine down to Massachusetts is actually completed. Of course, even the most stalwart climate hawk swallows hard when you think about chopping down trees to put in a power line, right? Anyone's home. But it does raise the whole question of sort of the justice of the whole thing, as you know, that Massachusetts will benefit and Maine will suffer at some level. I mean, another thing that Massachusetts can do in order to get the power that it is going to need, if it can't get to Hydro-Québec, it means that Massachusetts is going to have to dramatically increase the amount of wind and solar and all the other kind of stuff that you would think you need anyway. That is to say, Massachusetts, if it can't get Hydro-Québec power, it needs to replace that. It needs to replace it with either wind or solar, right? Or some other thing. I think, in my own humble opinion, that's a good thing. It creates lots and lots of jobs here in Massachusetts to really push the decentralized generation of power. Distributed generation is a phrase you may start to hear. Distributed generation means that the electric system is not concentrated in one big power plant somewhere, but instead is in wind turbines and solar panels spread all around the state. Of course, a big build-out of solar panels and wind turbines in the state of Massachusetts would have its own implications. There's already a debate down on the south coast of Massachusetts over a proposal to put in a solar panel on what is currently cranberry bog country, right? And of course, what happens is you have to strip out all of the nice topsoil to get down to the hard clay to put the solar panels in, and the people there don't want that. You can perhaps understand why they might not want such a thing, especially why, and you can ask yourself, why would you rip up green fields in order to put in a solar panel? Well, the flip side of that is to say, oh yeah, let's go put it on top of the Walmart. There's lots of parking lots. There's lots of places that are already, to borrow a phrase from Governor Baker, that are not virgin not exactly virgin territory, right? There are places that you would say these are already industrialized. They have no biological value. Let's put solar panels on top of the parking lot. To my mind, that's also an environmental injustice, because the people who have the Walmart, they say, why do I, on top of the Walmart, get, in addition to that, all these solar panels, right? And this is a situation that's played out in Weymouth and in Chelsea, where the communities that already have environmental burdens are considered the most attractive place to put new environmental burdens. I'm not saying I know which way, whether you put the solar panels in the cranberry bog or on top of the Walmart, but it's a choice, something that we have to think about. It's coming up fast. Another thing that Massachusetts would need to do is to begin to think about reform of ISO New England. ISO New England is this mysterious organization. ISO stands for Independent Systems Operators. And they basically worry about the grid, how we're going to move power around. They do long-term planning. But from what I've seen, some things, they're a little bit allergic to renewable energy. And they need to be reformed to be more accepting of renewable energy so that we, because we're all in this frying pan together, we have to figure out how to get around that. So we have an immediate question about what's Massachusetts going to do if it cannot what's Massachusetts going to do to get green energy if it cannot tap into Hydro-Québec because the power lines that come through either New Hampshire or Maine have been rejected? What's it going to do? That's something to think about. But I think there are further implications. There are national implications, right? That we have talked a lot about how Nebraska and North Dakota have so much wind that they are basically the Saudi Arabia of wind. We could build windmills all through North Dakota and then just build a transmission grid to bring it to Chicago, New York, and Los Angeles. Maybe. But maybe the people who live there or live where the transmission lines go through might object. Right? And so, and I think it's fair. I mean, it's either, you know, it's either not in my backyard, kind of NIMBYism, that nobody wants the wind turbine, the power line near their house. But the flip side is that there are legitimate environmental justice issues that need to be carefully considered in building transmission lines anywhere. Interesting questions. long-term implications? No answers in this podcast, only questions. But it's something to be pondering, something to be aware of. I hope when you see something about this in the newspaper, it'll trigger your memory, right? You heard it here first, that there is this ongoing need to produce enough clean energy, and there are problems with the transmission out of Canada down to the United States. What are we going to do? So, there you go. I'll put up links to some of the stuff in this that we talked about in this podcast on the blog. It's at massclimateaction.org/blog. If you have questions about or suggestions about the podcast, please send them to podcast@massclimateaction.net. Mass Climate Action on one word, right? Tell us what we ought to be talking about. You're probably listening to this phone on your smartphone using one of the modern podcast distribution apps. Please ask all of your friends to listen to us on their smartphone using their modern podcast distribution app. We want to thank our good friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. And we want to close where we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. Because of that, we have to insist that the United States must transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon that respects environmental justice communities. So thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.